It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Good Thursday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny. We are live. We're at the Bayou Bar and Grill in Philly, about 15 minutes away, right time of day, from Lincoln Financial Field, and we are getting ready for football. If you're coming to the game, if you're in the area listening on the Odyssey app, swing on by and see your pals, hang out with us, eat some buffalo wings. They've got award-winning wings here, and we are going to put that to the test.
That's something we'll do.
Just a few minutes from now.
It's a quality control issue. We need to make sure that the award still holds up, that it's still good. I'm with that.
Everyone here is very nice.
Yes.
They're actually decorating for the holidays. They were putting a big Santa inflatable up outside, and they told you, Darris, something to the effect of that they're doing like a lights event tonight on the street to kick off the holidays.
Yeah, tonight at 7 on up this entire street is going to be a light show, a light festival, essentially, which is something that you would normally do in December. So Philly does it different, I guess.
Today's the holidays, as far as I'm concerned. My wife texted me while I was on the train up here about a Christmas tree that she wants to buy. And she said, can we get this Christmas tree? And I'm like, sure, go ahead. She's like, do you want it up before Thanksgiving or after? I said, the answer is always before. I'd like my Christmas tree up before Halloween, but we already missed that deadline now, didn't we? So it's the holidays now, officially. They said so in Philly. But more importantly, Danny, we got a big football game tonight.
Big one. This is a divisional matchup. This is the divisional matchup, as far as I'm concerned, for Washington. It was always going to go through. You thought Philly and Dallas, a team that won 12 games in a row, or 12 games a year for three straight seasons in Dallas. They're imploding. Sorry about it. I will dance on that grave happily. But Philly's good. They come out of that bye week where they needed it. At the time you look at the schedule, you go, man, that's bad luck. Their bye week is so early. Turned out to be very fortuitous for them because of the injuries they had at the start of the season. Now they've got all 22. I'm not talking about the film that a couple of alleged scouts are watching on Twitter and telling me that who did what on when. No. All 22 of their starters, normal starters, are back playing in this game as Washington is now a bit of a walking wounded.
What I love about tonight is on here, November 14th, right, week 11. Since probably week 4, this was the game I've been looking forward to, which is not to say that there haven't been other fun moments along the way, whether that was at Baltimore. Last week against the Steelers was huge. But this has been a little bit of a collision course, honestly, because this is the most important one. And it's not because it's today, right? It's because this is a two-horse race, to your point. One of the two teams playing tonight is going to win the division. And after tonight, someone's going to be sitting in the driver's seat and someone's going to be in the back of the Uber, really cramped next to Darris and Danny. And I hope it's not me. I'd like to be in the driver's seat. All you got to do is win tonight. You set yourself up to have a really good opportunity moving forward. But it is a tall task. You mentioned that Philly's healthy with the 22 starters, offense and defense, who are going to be chomping at the bit tonight, 100% ready to go. They've also won 5 in a row. We talked about this yesterday. They're the number one defense in the NFL over those 5 weeks and 5 games. I think that has a little bit to do with who they've played. Cleveland, New York, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Dallas in that time post-bye. But their defense is playing at an elite level. And since they got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith back, who Washington, from a personnel standpoint, doesn't match up that well against on paper, they've been a different offense as well. Look at Jalen Hurts' last 5 games. He has a chance tonight to be the second quarterback in league history to string together 6 straight games with a quarterback rating of 115, meaning a lot of touchdowns, no interceptions, high completion percentage. He has, since the bye week in 5 games, 16 total touchdowns and 1 pick. 8 passing, 8 rushing, 1 interception. He's protecting the ball. This is the best he's played since the Eagles got to the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and he was an MVP candidate. And the buzzsaw that the Eagles have become is now the matchup tonight for Washington. Short week, quick turnaround, travel, no pressure. Go play.
Except all of it, right? I mean, especially because Pittsburgh didn't go your way. Had a couple things broken differently, maybe it does. You don't drop the passes you dropped. You don't jump off sides. Yada, 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 if. If they'd won that game and were 8-2, you wouldn't feel the import. But all of a sudden, a two-game losing streak is normal around these parts. I don't mean Philadelphia. I mean Washington. But not in a year where you're good. And you are. You are good. How good, I think, is up for debate. And tonight goes a long way as a data point in either direction. Right? What you've proven, both these teams have proven, if you are an inferior opponent to Washington or Philadelphia, respectively, you're going to get smacked around, probably. You're going to get beaten up because this group, both of these groups, have enough talent, are coached well enough, or disciplined well enough to not play down to an opponent. So here you're both facing a good team. And Philadelphia's talking about the same thing Washington is, right? This is your toughest test to date, maybe outside of that first game against Green Bay in a weird stadium and environment. Sort of almost throw those results out. But as the season has progressed, this is the best team Philadelphia's played, and I think vice versa. The opposite may be true here for Washington, depending on how you feel about Pittsburgh.
We're live all over D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. You can watch us, and you'll be able to watch us all the way through 6:30 on our stream on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. Logan Paulson is going to be joining us at 6 o'clock to have the last word on this game. We're going to X and O with him and break down why Philly is favored, what the areas of concern are for Washington offensively, defensively, but also why they have a good chance and why he likes them to play really tight in this game, even if he's not picking them. That's coming up at 6 o'clock today on Grant and Danny. We'll scout the opponent in about 53 minutes with Hugh Douglas. You remember how good Hugh Douglas was?
Yes, I do.
I think he wore number 53.
He was in the 50s. Yeah, that sounds right to me.
53 feels right. It was like Hugh Douglas and Brian Dawkins and Troy Vincent, that era of the Eagles where they just made me so angry and sad all the time, twice a year, every time they played Washington. Hugh Douglas was a baller, really good edge rusher who just had so many big games against the Commanders. But we'll let him go, let him know that, and then forgive him for it when he joins us coming up at 3 o'clock to preview the game to help us scout the opponent. But we are in Philly. We're excited about it, man. It's a little chilly. Got the door open at the bar. By the way, this is my kind of bar. I don't know how to describe it other than it's like a wood bar that looks like it hasn't been updated since 1982. Like, it's just my kind of vibe.
It's classic. Yeah, it's the it's, if you know it in D.C., it's like a Nanny O'Brien's kind of a vibe, right? Where it's like the whole point is it's not like modern fresh takes on cuisine and chefy sweet potato avocado blend taco. No, no, no. We're here for the fryer gets turned on.
Chefy sweet potato's not here.
Yeah, we're not doing that here.
Like, a guy with a Philly accent who did radio like 22 years ago. Rolled up in jeans, and he's like, I got to turn the fryers on. Give me 5 minutes. You know? Like, this is my spot.
This is that kind of a
bar. I am steamed up for this spot, the Bayou Bar and Grill. But we're here. We got on the train this morning. I was a little nervous myself.
You were, dude.
So it occurred to me while I was preparing to go to the game late last night that it might rain. I don't know if you guys ever looked at the weather once.
I did.
I did not. And it was about 11:30 last night. I'm driving home from the Caps game, and I'm going, it might be cold tomorrow. It's mid-November. And I look it up, and it's like 45 degrees at kickoff. And I go, you got to be kidding me. It's freezing. And I was like, well, at least it's not going to rain. So I then go, I'm going to go home and ask Alexa. And she tells me, rain in the forecast. I look it up, 90% chance of rain. Now, it sounds like that's dissipating. We'll get a weather report from our meteorologist, Ryan Clary, who knows Philly weather better than anybody, I would say. I mean, if he knows anything, Danny, it's Philly weather.
He's a longtime Philly weather guy. He wears a lot of hats. Yankees hats, different color Yankee hats that are like new,
right.
Older, classic Yankee hats. He wears a lot of hats for us.
But also
Philly
weather.
He also
knows
Philly weather.
Yeah. So I ask Alexa, and she says it's going to rain and it's going to be freezing. And it dawned on me, I only have one silly warm coat that I like to wear, and it is Eagles green.
It's that puke green.
I mean, it couldn't look more like it was an Eagles coat if you put that bird emblem on the chest.
Somebody had a starter jacket in the early 90s that was an Eagles jacket.
Yeah.
That's the only jacket that's slightly more Eagles than yours.
Now, are we talking like not the Kelly Green Eagles? We're talking like their current green.
We're talking like Jalen Hurts is going to wear this jacket into the locker room tonight.
Yeah.
Like, it just looks like if his jersey's on under it, would it match better than whatever he's going to be wearing. So I'm saying I think I got to get a coat. That or I'm going to wear this and everyone's going to Joan on me and tell me I'm an Eagles fan and I'll never hear the end of it from some random guy on Twitter who's got an egg avatar. So I got in my own head and I'm like, I got to go buy a coat that's not green. I can't sit there at the link in a green coat. So I'm rushing to go do that. I forget my wallet. Next thing I know, it's 9:15. I'm still at Target. And finally, I get out of there and I text you guys like on the way at like 9:40.
We're going, oh no.
the train's at 10:30. That thing leaves.
You know what trains don't do is wait.
So I made it.
They just go.
I think I made record time. I don't know if I got any camera tickets. I probably did. We'll see. They'll come in the mail or they won't. But we made it just in time to get on the train and just in time for someone to spill something all over Danny's lap.
So this is great. We
had fun.
It's one of those booth type seats, if you know it. So it's like there's four of us, and there's three of us, Darius, Grant, and myself. And so we've got the three. And it didn't occur to anybody. Well, it occurred to me because obviously I'm an adult. But it didn't occur to anyone else that someone else might be coming onto the train at some point, right? Where it's a packed train. It's sold out.
Well, it's like a plane, right? Yeah. You take off, and no one else is going to join you.
So there's all sorts of stuff. And when this Baltimore hipster with sleeve tattoos, who is very selfish, showed up, Grant looked like stunned that somebody would like, how could you possibly be trying to go here? Like, that doesn't make any sense at all. Like, there's no way.
So we had our own little table cubby area.
Yeah,
and I thought, oh, three amigos, it's a work trip. You know, we got our little area of the train. And yeah, there were four seats. One of them was inside of me. I was on the aisle. You guys were side by side.
Yeah.
But then guy shows up and he's like, I'm sitting there. I don't know that there's assigned seats on trains, by the way. I do a lot of training. Mm-hmm. Nobody does more training. There's not an HR department that does more training than I do. Okay?
Come on, this guy.
And I'm just telling you, I've never had an assigned seat on a train. Not one time in my entire life.
It's the new bit. It's the Acela bit. They do the assigned seats.
So this guy wants to sit next to me. Old two thumbs over here.
I don't know how many wanted to sit with us, but like, that's my seat. You know?
So I'm like, you sure? He's like, yeah. So I hop up. And he gets in, and he kind of angles in, and he sits there.
Yeah, and there's like 17 things on the on the deal. Like Grant moved his laptop almost if you're looking at the camera, he moved his laptop about that far, like a millimeter once from one side.
There's
the guy's
a computer
like working around, and he puts his coffee down, and then like kicks a bunch of stuff. Anyway, long story short,
he meeting the guy. Yeah, I don't drink coffee.
Right, the dude spills a lot of his hot coffee on me. Okay. Now, I'm pointing, it's my right leg on my thigh and on the side of my right leg, on the table in front of me, and on the seat, etc. So it's almost dry now.
I would say a lot is aggressive, by the way. Darius, rule on this. Did he spill a lot?
It's hard to tell because it didn't.
Your pants are actually still kind of wet.
Yeah, from the coffee he spilled on me. Plenty spilled on me is the point.
It didn't look like a lot, but I guess because it was at the edge by the window, we probably couldn't see how much
it was. We could only see what was on the table, which was a little.
Well, I'll say
there might have been more on your pants.
More than a single molecule is too many, I'll tell you that. So the hot coffee spills all on me on my right leg.
Was it hot?
Yes.
To the touch?
Yes. And this hipster doofus goes, oh, sorry. No need to prostrate yourself before me and beg for forgiveness. No need to have me to anoint my feet. Oh, don't hurt yourself as you bow and make sure that your sins are forgiven.
It's
sorry
so
to bother you and put you out. Sorry, my pants got in the way of your coffee, hipster. But thank God they didn't singe off your stupid tattoos.
It's so
you
true.
Chotch, you horse's ass. Immediately puts his little Bluetooth things in and is like pretending to look at his phone. Like brings out his portable mouse and just on his computer. Say, yeah, quick lunch trip later. Grant's trying to do bits the whole time. I'm like, I don't want any bits. I want the hot coffee off of my leg.
So
I want to feel dry and comfortable again.
A couple things. I think the reason that I thought barely any coffee spilled on you was his reaction.
Yeah.
His reaction was so nonchalant that I assumed he knew or saw no coffee really came out of this cup. So there's no reason for me to make a big deal about this.
He couldn't have been less apologetic about it.
So the level of apology, and I'm not even doing a bit, was like, so I have a water bottle. If my water bottle was on your side of the table, and I went, oh, sorry about that.
Yeah.
That's the level of apology. Not as if if I took this water bottle and spilled it on you. And went, oh, sorry. You'd be irate. Because that's not an apology. That's I bumped that. I'm sorry about that. It's not a minor inconvenience. You've spilled hot coffee on me. What? One woman sued McDonald's for $1 billion for that. I could not believe the lack of remorse from this self-centered goon who spilled coffee on me. Like, first of all, say you're sorry so loudly. Offer to do something. Anything.
In fairness to him, he was pinned inside of me. He's not getting past me.
Offer. Yeah. I'll decline. Darius is marching up and down the aisles looking for a couple of paper towels, thank God. But
I think he
moved on so fast.
He had to have thought nothing spilled or that nothing got on you, just that a little bit was on the table or something. But what was amazing to me, other than that, this is, and I'm not exaggerating, like Danny's 100% right. He goes, oh, sir.
Oh, sir.
That was like the end of it.
Oh, sir.
I thought there's normally a follow-up, like, you good or?
Did any get on you? Was said by someone else. And you know what I said? Yep.
That was me, by the way.
I know. Yeah. I remember that. I'm waiting. The door's wide open for you to walk through it, hipster. The door's wide open. Put that sleeved arm of tattoos right through there first and go, hey, man, so sorry. Did any get on you? Let me do something.
So when Darius, I didn't realize that Darius was going to have to walk across like three train carts to go find paper
either.
Towel.
Because he was, yeah, I was landlocked and he was on his
so outside. I was sitting facing you next to the hipster. He's to my left, shoulder to shoulder. Yep. Danny's across the little table. And so Danny's like, can someone get me a paper towel? Can someone get me a paper towel? And Darius and I are like looking at each other. And I got my bag and a bunch of stuff. And Darius is like, has easier access.
It's actually funny. Greg goes, I think Darius will do that.
No. I just said, I was like, you got it? And he's like, yeah, I got it. Because I literally, at that point, I had my bag. Yeah, I'm packing up. This guy just ruined my time by taking over all my space. Mm-hmm. So I'm like packing up. And Darius is just kind of smiling and happy-go-lucky. So he's like, yeah, I'll get it. I thought he was just going to go right behind where we were because we were in the back of the train cart. And go, like, right to the bathroom and grab him. He ends up, you know, hopping cars like he's Indiana Jones over snakes and stuff. And he comes back with napkins for you. And Danny's rubbing his leg like no one's ever had to rub their leg more, by the way. A little bit dramatic with the rubbing of the leg, if I could say that. Because I think, now that I know this, you were looking for your – I'm sorry. But at that point, that's when I was stunned officially that the guy didn't say something like, you good, man? Or something. Because now there's this elephant in the room where it's obviously on his leg. Because I asked him, too. I said, Danny, did something get on you? And he's like, yep.
Yep.
But also, I wonder if he thought you were a jerk a little bit. Because I thought your reaction was a little jerkish.
Let him wander away.
Yeah.
I'm not the a-hole who spilled coffee on somebody and never asked.
So if he asked me, when he says, hey, sorry, man, I would have been like, dude, don't worry about it at all. Like, seriously, it happens all the time. Like, no problem. And you went, wait, let me think what you said.
I think I muttered no worries. I matched his energy with my own thing. But
you definitely didn't say no worries. You're like, ugh. Like you did it. You were like a guy in a pea coat that you just bothered, who's a lot to deal with, kind of level back at him. You like look down at his hipster.
Yeah.
And I think at that point it's a stare down of, he doesn't like you, you're the man. You don't like him, he's the hipster.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to win this stare down of being rude to the other?
Which I hear you on that, except that there's one thing that tips the balance, is that he spilled coffee on me. See what I'm saying? So if we're just at a regular sort of situation socially, and it's like, ooh, a little tete-a-tete, man, a non-establishment versus regular awkward suburban dad, totally fine. That's appropriate. He spilled the coffee onto me. He's the jerk. Simple. This is a very simple equation. All you have to do is show some level of human concern beyond your stupid computer, which is an inferior brand, and cost $19 with your dumb a Bluetooth mouse and your stupid little earbuds to go to your work lunch in Philly, you fraud. Promote some other dumb band somewhere, you zilch. Oh, what a jackass.
The only thing better on the trip than that, to me, was when I just kept trying to do a bit. And if you want to check it out, it's fun. At Grant H. Paulson on Instagram, it's my latest story. I recorded it, luckily. I've had a couple of people hit me up like, why is Danny so mean? Like, actually thinking mm-hmm. that Danny's angry at me, which he's not. He's just out on the bit. But the bit was that I have this email with some data on each generation and how much they consider themselves a sports fan. And I thought it would be good for the show to go over those numbers. Hey, we got a changing environment. How are we going to attack this, right? Millennials versus Gen X versus Gen Z. And I was like half serious, like we should talk about this as a show, but also obviously half doing shtick. You know, you're on a business cart, and you're like, I got Chris's metrics. Let me slide them across the table for you. Printed these off. Let's look at the metrics. Danny immediately puts his buds in. Cannot be bothered.
I want no part of the bit. Because to me, it's like, let's do a bit surrounding hipster guy that's here, who I hate, who I passionately despise.
It didn't have anything to do with hipster guy.
Of course it did.
I would have done the bit with or without hipster guy.
But it's like everyone pay attention to us, but don't. Like, it's so out on it. It's like when you're talking to the cab driver, you're like, who lives in that house? No one. It's a boathouse. You know what I mean?
I'm
like,
sure.
it's a house tip for
sure
docking and boats.
House.
You did.
No.
You're like, I wonder if Joel Embiid lives there. And I'm like, ugh. It's a house for boats.
Oh, forgive me for having a nice discussion with the cab driver.
You're doing some sort of, like, sort of make fun of him, but pretend
no,
not
I'm
to.
No, I'm sure I'm making fun
pretend,
of him.
Pretend
I'm having
not,
a
no.
conversation
it's
with
not
him.
What a combo is. A combo is like what we're doing right now.
Yeah,
maybe
we did
like,
that too.
Grant, who do you think lives down there? There's a hole in the ground. Do you think an elf lives down there? Like, that's not conversation.
That's not what I did.
That's precisely what you did.
I didn't
you
do that.
You pointed at a boathouse, and you're like, I bet you 76er lives there. Like, it's like you're like pretend ignorance. You know, it's a house for the boats. They're docking right there so they can roll in the stupid
I
river.
Said those are lovely homes. They're massive $10 million homes on the water with boats.
They're boathouses.
I said, do you know anything about that community? Who lives over there? Is that where the 76ers live? It wasn't like, Joel Embiid's car is a Buick, and that's a Buick. That's not what I was doing. I wasn't, like, connecting the dots. Clearly, that's his home.
You're going.
By the way, it was 8 minutes into our conversation. We had a nice conversation.
We had a great conversation.
I found out where he's from, what kind of sports he likes.
Sure you did.
He's into cricket.
Big cricket fan.
You know what? You didn't find out anything because you were ignoring him.
Not interested. And I'll never will be. I don't get that. I don't get what – now you know that about that guy. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do?
Darius, I did pull off one bit that got a little run today. I feel good about this. You no-sold it. Shocker.
Yep.
Thanks for that. Mm-hmm. But, Darius, I got a pop from you. We're walking down the aisle to our seats before Danny got spilled on. And there's an Eagles fan headed up to Philadelphia for the game. I know this because he was wearing lots of Eagles gear.
So much Eagles gear.
Bright Eagles.
But
right,
I stopped.
Kelly Green.
Yeah, Eagles and St. Patrick's went into a seedy motel room.
So you know? I stop, and I'm like right next to this guy, and I look at him. I start rubbing my chin like that one emoji that I hate. You know what I mean? Where you do
of
that.
Of course
like,
I do.
The thinking face.
The
emoji.
L fingers on your chin. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I was like kind of rubbing my chin, and I look at him, and I'm like, there's something on your shirt. He's like, what? And I just point right at the Eagles logo, and I go, there's something on your shirt. Something's on there. And then it takes him a second, and he realizes, I'm joining on the Eagles.
Yeah.
It was a great moment for both of us, I thought. Mm. Darius enjoyed it. He enjoyed it. He's like, oh, that's the best football team in the East. And then we jaw a little bit. We'd be separated. We got nose to nose.
He's like, that's winning.
Just trying to mix it up with the people, Darius.
See, I think that plays.
Yeah, I agree.
The cab driver bit, I kind of wasn't in on. Like, I was more on Danny's
okay.
side.
You don't like getting to know the cab driver.
Yeah, I just want to be driven to the place where I'm supposed to be driven to.
Okay.
But that bit I thought worked out perfectly.
Good. Yeah. So I'm batting 500 with you.
I'll take it.
Sitting zero with Danny.
That's right.
But we'll get there.
Mm.
Or I'll spill something on your pants.
Spill something on my left leg. Giving it up.
Grant and Danny on the fan. We are in Philadelphia. One pair of jeans coffeed up later. The Commanders and the Eagles tonight. The Commanders will win if. Let's open up the phones on that. The MGM National Harbor listener lines 800-636-1067. Let's fill in that blank. How do the Commanders win this football game and upset the Eagles on the road? This is the fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This update brought to you by Reynolds Empower Home Team, Keller Williams Realty. Previewing Washington Commanders versus Philadelphia Eagles tonight at 8:15 from the Link. Eagles starting quarterback Jalen Hurts respects linebacker Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, there's a respect factor to that. You know, he's done it for a very long time. He's one of the best to do it, you know, competitively. That's a great advantage for him. That's something, you know, with his experience and everything that he's able to lean on. That's something that pops off.
The Burgundy and Gold pregame show begins at 6:30 right here on The Fan. Capitals fall 4-3 in OT to the Maple Leafs. They're off to take on the Avalanche tomorrow night in Denver. Tampa Bay Rays will play at Steinbrenner Field in 2025, a capacity of 11,026. Free agent reliever Justin Wilson going to the Boston Red Sox. Want to hear the fastest way to know what your home would sell for? Reach out to Empower Home Team. Simply text your address to 800-763-3000. No phone call, just text your address to 800-763-3000. That's 800-763-3000. Byron Curb on The Fan.
Yeah, today was the day to get speed, and so that was good sign to see him and the rest of his teammates really get running. It was a kind of a ramp up, John, as you go. Think of a slower on Monday, a little faster yesterday, but today's the day you hit the marks to go up, and so he did a good job with that.
For the second time this season, we are on the road with the Commanders. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. The last time we traveled, Washington hung just about 40 points, looked amazing offensively, and that's when we found out things were different because they beat the Bengals on Monday Night Football. Hopefully, tonight is equally as successful for the program and for the football operation.
Yeah, everything about it. This is a huge one, right? I mean, this is a chance to, I think you said it very well in the opening segment, to kind of put your stamp on things, right? Everyone knows you're good. Right, yeah, you're going to have the people chirping from other fan bases or on the shouty shows, and they'll say what they want. But this is a way to kind of make people think about you differently. Not just, hey, nice start to the season. Hey, good for you. You beat up Carolina. Hey, that's neat. Cleveland was on the ropes, and you knocked him out. That's adorable. You beat a quality opponent in their building on Thursday Night Football in front of the whole country. With Al Michaels not raising his excitement above a 1.5. You do that, and people start talking about you differently. That Cincinnati win, to your point, went a long way toward changing the narrative. This is another chance to turn a few pages.
The Commanders win if. Filling in that blank is the task here on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. Hit us up at 800-636-1067 to interact with us on the phones. You can also tweet us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. So why don't you start, Danny? The Commanders win this game if.
At least two turnovers are forced by this Washington defense. And it can't just be arm punts. It can't be a turnover like last week that when Russell Wilson threw it all the way down the field and it was as effective as a punt and a fair catch. It's got to be a meaningful field position changing, maybe even a defensive score. Something huge has to happen for this defense. Because if this just plays out where you punch in the middle of the ring, Rocky Balboa style, I don't know that you win the fight. To me, something's got to change. It's got to change the equation a little bit here. So one of those pressing, meaningful field position flipping or even better turnovers, I think a couple of those are essential tonight for Washington to win.
The Eagles have given the ball up 11 times this year, but that's pretty misleading.
Only three in their last five.
Yeah, three out of their last five is the tell because that's post bye week while they've been 5-0. Early on, that was a major problem. But to your point, if Jalen Hurts wants to get back to throwing the ball up for grabs or they want to lose a fumble or two tonight, you'll welcome that because they were a different football team when they were turning the ball over. By the way, Washington did give the ball away on special teams on the Alameda Zacchaeus punt return that never was when he put the ball on the ground last week. That was only their fourth giveaway. They had three over their first nine games of the season, which was a record. You know, that had not happened in decades and decades of football, dating back to 1933 when they started tracking that statistic. They're now tied with the Chargers, who also don't turn the ball over, four giveaways so far offensively this season for both Washington and L.A., which is best in the NFL. In terms of takeaways, that's certainly not a strength for the Commanders. They're middle of the pack. They have 10 takeaways this season. They have six fumble recoveries, but only four interceptions. There's teams in the league based on scheme that get those all the time. Brian Flores and the Vikings, 15. Detroit, Aaron Glenn, interviewed for the head coaching job here, 13 interceptions. The Texans have 13 picks. The Saints have 12 picks. Washington on the season, just four interceptions. Very, very low number.
Yeah, I think it's partly the way they've had to cover. Now, I'm hoping Lattimore changes that, where you can press a little bit more and, you know, be able to take some chances. I mean, that's what Dan Quinn's defenses have done for so many years is – we're going to bump you. We're going to play physical, and you know we're trying to disrupt some timing on some routes and make you hurry up a little bit. And then you know you get some of those errant throws, some of those ones that sail, or you guys can jump them a little bit. They've basically been playing a lot of shells, a lot of things to not expose their cornerbacks. And you know I don't expect that to change tonight. So you know to me the interception's got to be that tip pass at the line of scrimmage that lands in Bobby Wagner's hands. Interception. I don't trust a cornerback jumping around making a play or anything like that. Maybe something sails and a safety could come up with it. But I don't think this is a you jump the out route because A.J. Brown's running it because you're terrified of the out and up. Like, I just don't see that.
Lattimore, who you mentioned, out tonight, of course, hopefully makes his debut at home against the Cowboys. Next Sunday, a week from this weekend, would be nice, but that's still to be determined. I think that's how most interceptions come, too, anymore, if you think about it. I think it was Jay Gruden on our show last week said something to that effect, which is, you know, most of the time, if you go back and actually go through every interception, it's very rarely at this level that a quarterback just makes a terrible throw. That happens. The bad quarterbacks do it 10 or 12 times a year. The really good ones do it 2 to 5 times a year or whatever. But most interceptions, to your point, are that batted ball or the ball off of receiver's hand.
On a timing play, the receiver went left and it should have gone right.
Exactly. Yeah. Somebody misread something. Those happen way more often where it's more than just the quarterback making a mistake. Again, the question for you guys, Danny's answer is a couple takeaways. How do the Commanders beat the Eagles and pull off the upset tonight? I'll answer the blank and fill it in this way. The Commanders win if, I don't know if this is lazy, this is really how I feel, if Jaden Daniels is spectacular. I think that this feels to me a lot like the Bengals game. Maybe because it's primetime, maybe because it's a night game, maybe because it's a standalone game, maybe because we're on the road. I don't know. But it feels to me like going into that game, my takeaway was they're probably not as good as Cincinnati. And I didn't realize the Bengals were as bad as they would be. But I thought to win, they've got to score a ton of points and win a shootout, and Jaden Daniels has to just be the best guy on the field. And he was. It feels like that to me again tonight. You're going up against an Eagles team that is ahead of you in the standings, probably a little bit better than you because they're at home on the short week and they're fully healthy, and it's either Jaden Daniels balls out or he doesn't. He ends up putting the team on his back or he doesn't. And this is anecdotal, but you go back to his college career when he played at night, when he played in Death Valley, when he's playing against Alabama, when he's playing some of these huge games in the SEC, he seemed to always level up. Mm-hmm. Like he was that guy. The bigger the stage, the brighter the lights, the bigger the moment, the better he played. He has been that dude for them this year in the standalone game, in the Monday night game. Part of the reason for his early season reputation and the talk about him, in addition to just that he's been terrific, was that when everyone's watched him, he's been at his best. If you remember the Hail Mary against the Bears, that came right after all the 4 p.m. games had ended, and it was the only game on TV at that point. You might as well have been playing, you know, one of those windows at night or whatever, or the Germany game where nobody else is on, so the whole country's watching you. He has thrived in those moments. I think he gets back to being the star, making the dynamic plays. It's not a Daniels knock, but the last few weeks offensively have been a little bit more pedestrian. 12 points before the Hail Mary against Chicago. You know, their worst statistical performance of the season against the Steelers. He was pretty solid, made a couple of huge throws against the Giants to Terry down the field for a touchdown. But for the most part, it was just a more normal outing. I think we could see a special Jaden game tonight. And I think you have to if they're going to win.
I do, too.
Because it's going to take upper 20s or more in points.
Yeah, I think it's got to be exceptional. It's got to be one of the ones we talk about after the season, right? When you're going back over the highlights. You know what a couple of those games are off the top of your head right now. That Cincinnati game was beyond epic. Some of the moments have been incredible. This needs to be one of those on the highlight reel, I think, right? Like, again, I always hate to bring it back to Griffin, but I don't have another great comp for it. When you think of Griffin's highlights and those amazing games and some of the things that Washington won, you think of New Orleans, you think of the run against Minnesota, you think about in Dallas on Thanksgiving. This needs to be that version of that right tonight, I think, for them to win.
I will hit the phones next. What needs to happen for the Commanders to beat the Eagles? Fill in that blank. Commanders win if. You're listening to GND live from Philly at the Bayou Bar and Grill. If you're coming to the game or you're in the area, stop by and say hello. We would love to hang with you before we go over to the link tonight to see the most important NFC East game of this season to this point in Week 11. You're locked into the Fan. With Danny Ruhier, I'm Grant Paulson. This is the Fan, GND, out and about, ahead of the Commanders and the Eagles. Thursday night football, the good guys, trying to get to 8-3, trying to get back to first place. They were in first place from week two up and through their game starting week 10. And as of right now, they're looking up at the Eagles by one half of a game. After this weekend, they will have the Cowboys in a week, the Titans both at home, very winnable, a situation where they should go 2-0. So one way or the other, they're going to be well-positioned going into their bye, going into the stretch run for a playoff spot. But tonight's going to be a determining factor in whether or not it looks like they're a division champion.
Yeah, how it happens is going to matter, right? Are you on the road for a wild card game or, you know, hosting at home potentially? A lot's on the line.
Let's go to Peter, who's in Wilmington, listening on the Odyssey app. Are you in Wilmington because you're making your way to Philly, or do you live in Wilmington?
I'm in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Oh, well, I am off by a lot of states.
Okay. Listen,
I'll be
you
honest.
Know, last week we lost that game. That we made mistakes, we lost it. They didn't really beat us, number one. Number two, this is a good week, I think, to get the two rookies on offense, Sanat and McCaffrey, involved in the game. Try to get the ball to them. They really haven't been passing much to them, and they've been open, especially McCaffrey. And I think that's important to spread it around a little bit more because you know they're going to be focused on McLaurin. And another thing, I totally agree with you. Daniels has to have a spectacular night for us to win. And if that happens and he can get maybe these two rookies involved, I think we got a good shot at it. But
it is stunning to me. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you, bud.
I'm shocked that Sinnott has not been more of a factor. As a second-round pick with three catches, and it's not like, oh, he hasn't caught the ball or he's not really getting open. He doesn't play a ton. He blocks more than he goes out for passes. He's never targeted. And so you can't say, well, he's not doing something right. I mean, he's doing what he's being asked to do. I know that they're not a pass-first offense. They don't really throw to, you know, have two tight ends running routes a whole lot out of 12 personnel. They've obviously got Ertz as what they call their F, the guy that runs around as a tight end and moves. They've got John Bates as their blocker. But you would think as a second-round pick who had the preseason he had, I just can't stop thinking about how dynamic he was in the preseason. You'd think that they would ask him to do something at some point.
That's my theory exactly. And I'm not. And it turns into, it sounds like a bash Zach Ertz session, and that's not the intent here at all. He is a useful player, talking about Ertz. There's a lot that he does well, right? Like in terms of finding the soft spot in the zone, separating in man, the safety blanket for the rookie quarterback. I'm all in favor of Ertz getting targets and looks.
Well, and let's be clear. He does things a lot better than Sinnott does, based on his experience, how long he's been around, just reading in the room, basically.
Without a doubt.
So I get that, but there's still a dynamicism after the catch that he lacks that I think Sinnott has. That
there
you
it
think
is.
Like you could go into a game and just have two plays for Sinnott where you go, I'm going to run a throwback tight end screen to this guy to see what happens against the right defensive.
This is my point exactly. You go against type here. Now's the time to do it, right? Where nobody's seen it, no one knows about it. What better game to break it out than against a really good opponent on the road, right? Think of those Chris Cooley short screens that were so effective. Despite him not moving all that fast, he's still getting a bunch of extra yards, giving people the stanky leg, working his way forward. Sinnott's got some of that bulldozer in him. He can move.
Let's go to Jermaine, who is in Bowie, home of the Bay Sox. Jermaine, what's good?
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Hey, man.
Here's the key. I think the key is we've got to be able to run the ball. With B-Rob back, that is a key to us winning. If we can rush, hold the ball, long sustained drives, we keep their offense off the field. And a good defense is offense. So if we keep their offense off the field, we have a good chance to win. And you think about it, the last couple games that we lost was Jaden Daniels didn't have a great game. So I'm thinking, Philly is thinking, hey, let's line up to stop the pass. They're probably going to stop the running lanes for Daniels. So I think the run is going to be open. And then once we suck them in, looking for the run, they're going to look for the run the second half. They're going to line up, you know, seven, eight in the box. Then we can throw it over the top. That's going to open up the pass. But I think
little Robinson early over the top late. I can see it go. I mean, to me, the way to do this is to kind of out-Eagles the Eagles. Like, I want them to feel I appreciate the call, man, as always. I want them to feel those body blows. Right, where they have to constantly cover, constantly deal with Brian Robinson, downhill, downhill, downhill. As long as it's working, as long as you're getting positive yardage in those running spots, then, you know, you don't need necessarily a ton of success running to open up play action. We have enough data that proves that. But I want them to be more on the balls of their feet, sort of moving forward, thinking. Then you get some of that stuff in behind. I think your shots may be able to come later.
It is not lost on me. that as their offense has fallen off a little bit, and I'm not saying it's perilous or some major issue, but their offense has gone from number one in everything to top five in everything, right? As their offense has come back to the pack, which was naturally going to happen, sure, inevitably at some point, because they were doing things that hadn't been done in 20 years. Brian Robinson has not been on the field that much. He missed the second half of the Carolina game, right? Now, they hung 40 in that game. They had no problems against the Panthers. But he's missed two football games in total now, both against the AFC, luckily, in the two losses. But he has not played in two losses. Like, when he's played, their record is 7-1. When he hasn't, they're 0-2. I don't do quarterback wins and losses. I'm certainly not going to do running back wins and losses. But I don't think it's a nothing burger to suggest that their battering ram, their best running back as a run-first team, as the complement and read option with Jaden Daniels. Like, clearly he's been a factor.
Yeah.
When he hasn't been there, that they've had a worse chance. Let's go to Ahmad in Upper Marlboro and Grant and Danny. Ahmad, the question is, oh, I think he just dropped, 800-636-1067. The question that we're asking you guys is, what needs to happen for Washington to win, and how do they win the football game tonight? You're filling in the blank, Commanders win if. Where are you at on my Daniels take, which you could say every week, like the quarterback's got to play well. That's not what I'm doing. I'm saying I think this is a game where you need to win a shootout. You've got to be spectacular. He always protects the football, so I'm really not that concerned about that. If tonight goes sideways, like he throws a couple picks, whatever. But by and large, what I'm saying, though, is I need the big plays with his legs. That was gone against Pittsburgh. He hasn't really had the same kind of seeming hunger to run post-rib injury. I don't know if he's turned a corner or not, or if he's still feeling that, like Jay Gruden suggested this week that he is. But I think if you're going to beat the Eagles, you need an A game from Jaden Daniels. I don't think his B game does it, and I know his C or worse doesn't do it.
To me, it's not even just, oh, he's got to play well, because to off the distinguishing point that you're making, I think this needs to be the game that we remember, right, where you think of the
Bengals 2.0.
Yeah, the highlight of his rookie year, the highlights, the special games where he's been awesome for the majority of the time he's been the quarterback. That's why we're all so damn excited, rightfully so. The kid's special. But when you look back on the highlights of this year, in 5 years from now, when you and I are, God willing, at a bar in some different city, we're going, what's the key to the game tonight? Remember that Philly game on Thursday Night Football when Daniels just put the team on his back and was incredible? He did everything, and everyone in Philly was hanging their heads in shame because they couldn't stop him. He was hitting people in stride, the long passes, the runs, nothing but highlights. We need that tonight, in my opinion. I'm with you.
His best game has been the Bengals game by far.
Mm-hmm.
Second best game, would you say the Arizona game probably?
That's in the convo, certainly. I thought he was pretty great against Cleveland. I know he threw a pick in that game, but the rushing totals were ridiculous. He had a sack that should have been an easy sack, turned into a 60-yarder to Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, that was you know what? Now that I think about it, I was not as impressed. That play was amazing. But if you remember, the Cleveland game, the narrative was that he actually struggled a little bit passing the
early
ball.
Early they did, yeah.
In that game.
Yeah.
The Arizona game, I think he had like three completions. What were his numbers in that game?
26 out of 30.
Yeah.
I guess that's pretty good.
So
was that pretty good?
That was probably his second best game. I needed to be in that ilk. Like, in that conversation, your podium game, top three game of the year for you to beat this Eagles team. Let's talk to Hugh Douglas next. He torched Washington for years as a pass rusher. Luckily, he can't hurt you guys anymore. He can't hurt us. But he is going to join us to preview the game and help us scout the opponent right at the top of the hour. We're Grant and Danny. We are live at the Bayou Bar and Grill in Philly. We're going over to the Link tonight with the unwashed masses. We will be in the crowd. We don't know why we're doing this, but we're doing it. And hopefully we have a good story to tell and no blood is shed. You're listening to The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.